And may our words today, Holy Spirit, be ones that you can speak to each one of our hearts. I want to share something with you that I saw a few weeks ago that I laughed at and thought you might too. We're hoping you'll lead us on a journey of transformation without requiring any real changes, says the committee. So I'm wondering, how many of you have ever said this to God? How many of you are honest enough to say, yes, lead me, take me on a journey wherever you lead, just don't disrupt much. Please, just don't make any big changes. We can be like that, right? This, here it is, nope, oh, I don't know if I want to do that. And there's this journey that we go on. That's why this language we use is like that, right? Journey, relationship, walk with God. Because we're recognizing in our very language that it's about this ongoing nature of how we live day in and day out. You know, people don't just remember one moment. They remember the substance of our lives, right? And that's why these moments with Jesus in his temptation hour is so important. Did he face temptations in other times in his life? Yes. But we have these three recorded that are so much like all the other temptations that we face. You see, Jesus went through these three temptations in the wilderness right after, see, he was led out of Egypt. Then he was led through the waters of his baptism. God spoke over him, and then he was led into the wilderness. And it was there that for these last few weeks that when he was encountering the evil one, that we have been understanding more about who we are and how we can be victorious by the life of Jesus. So this is the final one today. This is the final temptation of Jesus that we're going to look at. We see in these temptations that Jesus faced this existential question of who he was. The enemy comes along and whispers, if you are the Son of God, then do this, then do this. But Jesus knew who he was. Jesus had heard those words over him at his baptism, and he believed them to the core. And that's what made all the difference in facing the evil one. That's how it's translated in scriptures. And when we are tempted, how often we question who we are. This is coming from those text messages you shared with me. Those questions of am I worth this love? Am I enough? Am I worthy for God to pay attention to me? Am I really the beloved of God? Is my name really written in the book of life? Jesus shows us what it's like to live the life of the beloved so we can continue to believe that more and more. So in the first temptation, rocks to bread. Jesus was tempted to provide for his own sustenance. He was tempted to not trust God, but to take things in his own hands, to take control over his physical needs. Then we see in the next temptation, sustenance, safety. He was tempted to test whether or not God was really with him. Leap off the temple, let God protect you. Show them that God is really with you. Now in this third temptation to success, Jesus is tempted with a more overt tactic of the enemy. Skip the hard stuff, he says. Just have success the easy way. Jesus is tempted to prove himself in these three times to show that he is really the Son of God. But that's what he already was. But the devil, in this third temptation, shows him all the kingdoms of the world and whispers, Jesus, what the world really needs is a benevolent dictator. Just bow down to me and you can skip all the pain and just rule. That's what we really need. But Jesus says, no, I'm going to seek first the righteousness and all the other things will be added. This word righteousness is so rich because righteousness not only means being pure and being right, but it also means that the righteousness of God makes right the things around it. So as God's righteousness is around us, God orders and brings peace and brings the righteousness of God to our life. This week, Josiah was playing with something we got him at Christmas, and we got him a doctor's kit. Any doctors in the house? Woot! All right. Doctor's in the house. We didn't give him the plastic stuff. We actually went out and bought stuff at a medical store, and he loved it because he could really hold up the real otoscope, real but cheap, not to worry, the real $4 otoscope, and the stethoscope and all the other parts. But we got him this little lab coat, little tiny lab coat. And so we were buttoning, and he did the button, and it was not going right. And I was teaching him, and I said, Josiah, if you get the top button right, then all of the other ones, you can tell they're going to fall into place because you can see where they go. And I think this is that verse, seek first the kingdom of God. If you get that top button right, if you seek God first, if you let him be first in your life, then all of the other things will be added to you as well, Jesus says. If you worship me alone, if you let your life be solely in allegiance to God alone, the other things will fall into place, Jesus says. So as he's buttoning, I'm thinking of this message and I'm thinking, yes, if we make the first things first, the other things do come. And so the enemy comes whispering these lies and asking for allegiance that he has not deserved. And Jesus, what he says later on, seek first the kingdom of God, he puts into practice right here. Let's read this text Christian read just a few moments ago. Let's read it one more time so we can hear the word of the Lord once again together. We're starting in verse 8 of Matthew chapter 4, and it says, again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you. Oh, the gall. All this I will give you, he said, if you bow down and worship me. Jesus said, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Here quoting Deuteronomy like he did last week. Worship the Lord and serve him only. Then the devil left him and the angels came and attended him. Notice that first word in the verse, again. Again the enemy is showing up. If you have felt at different times, what, am I back here again? Am I here in this place? Even Jesus encountered that. Again, the enemy accosted him. Again, he found himself under attack. Again, another bike accident. Again, again, he found himself facing the temptation of the enemy. And this time, the devil comes and he says, you can have all the gain without any of the pain. Because Jesus knew the way of the cross was before him. He knew the suffering of what he was about to do. And so the enemy comes and he says, have all that gain, but without any of the pain. Take the easy way, Jesus. You know what you're heading towards. You know what these people are going to do. This is the part that means so much to me because Jesus was telling you and I, don't take the quick and easy road. This is a temptation to quick success. Those little compromises can seem so small sometimes. Cheat here, lie here, do this little bit. No one will notice cutting that corner. Just do that. Or why don't you just skip that part? No one will notice if you're doing that right now. But Jesus says, the trajectory of my life matters, and I will not compromise the means for the end. I am focused on this way. And I will not go away from the suffering that I'm called to in redemption. So Jesus looks at all these kingdoms that are placed before him, these kingdoms of all the world that are being passed before his eyes, the beautiful splendor. Do you see it? Can you picture it? Him showing this after this. I said the gall because can you imagine the devil showing the splendors of the world to the one who breathed it into existence? Can you imagine the pride that it took to be able to say, all this I will give you, when Jesus was the one who was there at the very beginning? Can you imagine? Jesus knew what would be penned later because this truth was deep in his experience. James 1 verse 17, every good and perfect gift comes from above. There is nothing that we can receive that is not from the hand of God. So the devil makes these promises and he really can't deliver. Just like in the garden, he says, eat the fruit and then you'll be like God. The truth is we did learn good and evil, but we knew the pain and we knew the tension God was in, and we've entered into that suffering too. Now, at the time, idolatry was a very real temptation, because in the Greco-Roman world, to even participate in the politics or the social world or the economics of the day, you needed to give allegiance. You needed to bow down. You needed to come and make sacrifices. You needed to do these things in order to participate. And so people around listening to this story later read would have said, I know that experience. I know that tension. They would have known people that have just said, let me compromise a little bit here so that I can participate there. And here the dramatic response of Jesus is absolutely not. I will not give my allegiance to anyone other than God, for my life is about bringing glory to God. There were gods everywhere in the day, but none had revealed themselves like our God. None had been so great as to show up like Jesus did, walking and talking among us. So Satan has incredibly messed up thinking and invites others into that messed up thinking too. Because he tries to convince Jesus of something that is already his. See, the devil will try to get you to give away your allegiance to obtain something you already have been given. Something that through Christ you already possess. That's why he comes along and he says, if you are, but Jesus had already heard, yes, you are the beloved. And he tries to give him all these kingdoms and he already possesses all of them. He comes along to you and to me, and he tries to whisper these lies. Some of them you have already been given. You already are. So Jesus doesn't wait any longer. As soon as he hears this command to worship, this invitation to worship someone other than God, he calls out, "Away from me." Notice that as soon as Satan calls him to worship, he's done with the conversation. He's like, oh, you're going there? I'm out. I am out. Sometimes we talk to the enemy a little bit too long. We enter into dialogue. We rationalize or reason with ourselves or with the enemy. And Jesus says, if you're here to get me to tempt me to turn rocks into bread, to take care of my own sustenance, to try to control things with my own hand, okay, but no. If you're here to get me to test God, to show and prove that I am really the Son of God, I'll talk to you, but no, I'm not about to do that. Then you ask me to worship one other than God? Away from me. I will have nothing, no part in that. I do not want to compromise because it's at the core of my life, Jesus says. Worship and glory to God alone. And this next part is so powerful. Pastor Alger referenced it in his story. Jesus says, for it is written. This part is so essential because our lives will be governed and ruled by something, whether it's ourself or someone else. For me, it's God, this God who has authority over my life and whose very word that has been given, gifted to be revealing to me what this God is like, and the life of Jesus, the living word that reveals to me who God is. This is what has authority over my life. And this is what allows me to not bow down and worship, because this God is majestic and beautiful and holy and good. There are so many programs that we have. There are so many wonderful things you can be a part of. I talked about some of them right here for a few minutes at the beginning. We would love to have you involved in so many of those ways. But if you're involved but you miss hearing the heart of God for you, that would be tragic. Because God is speaking over you. You are my beloved son. You are my beloved daughter. And this experience of hearing God and experiencing God is what allows us to be able to stand. This experience of knowing and being grounded in the word of God, of being able to say like Jesus, it is written. That's not who I am. This is who I am. That's the experience that we long for each of us. So Jesus calls out, worship the Lord and serve him only. There are so many powerful stories of faithfulness in the scriptures. One came out in a Bible study earlier this week. Someone said their favorite story is of the three Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace. When they walk through, when they say, I will worship the Lord and serve him only, and then they find out that in their darkest hour, God is right there with them. Again and again in the stories of faithfulness in the scripture, we see that when we're going through the hardest points of our own trial or temptation, that Jesus is right there with us, that he's going through it, walking through it with us at that moment. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus describes, he says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." That is not to limit who is able to thrive or who is able to have life. Some have said, well, what's few? Well, to God, apparently numbers are really off, because remember, a day, a year, and the numbers to God, like all of us are able to come to life. But he's saying this principle. Sometimes it feels more difficult to be on a way that is more disciplined. It feels more difficult to say no. But remember, in order to say yes to something else, we must say no to this. In order to walk on this path, this life-giving path with Jesus, we must say no to other things that would bring destruction in our life. And the beautiful part about this path is that God is right there with us. Eugene Peterson calls it a long obedience in the same direction. This walking with God, this long obedience where we continue to walk, we continue to journey. And sometimes on that path, we find ourselves in the flames, but we find out God is right there with us right at that moment. So with that, away from me, the enemy leaves, the evil one departs. And it says that God came and ministered to his heart. Jesus was victorious, and the angels came and strengthened him and brought and lift him up. Have you ever had that experience where you go through a lot and then you suddenly find yourself feeling depleted, but God pours back into you? A person here, they come along and speak these words to you, or a card sent just at the right time, or an experience where you know it's not just coincidence, but you know that something happened there. And suddenly God's pouring back into you. Jesus experienced that ministering to by God as God came and lifted him up. God knows that when we go through a lot, we need that strengthening. And so they came and they surrounded Jesus, fully God and fully man, who needed to be strengthened at that time. This story that I came across a few years ago about Mollini is one that I think is incredible. This beautiful, regal, white tiger was in the National Zoo in Washington, D.C. Now, at the time, she was one of, I think, only six that were outside of India, white tigers that were outside of India. So people were just amazed. Now, she made her home in the old lion's cage that they had, 12 feet by 12 feet, concrete floor, iron bars. And people would come to the zoo just to see her. She was spectacular in the 1960s and 70s. Now, she was this massive creature, so people would come along and watch her in awe and not want to be in there with her. But she would pace back and forth all day in that space. All day, back and forth, back and forth. And people would stare at her in awe and then walk on to see the other animals. Well, as time went by, they got together, biologists and the zookeepers there. They said, let's create a new habitat for her. And so they created this spacious and beautiful habitat that was suitable for her. It covered several acres. They had a pond. They had trees. They had interactive things that she could experience. And everyone was just really exhilarated by the releasing, and it got some press. So they went and they were letting her into this new habitat. And what happened, no one expected. They released her, and Mollini went immediately up into the corner of the habitat, and she started pacing back and forth in the corner of this gorgeous new habitat. And that's where she spent the rest of her years, in a space that later could be defined because she had worn all of the grass into a space 12 feet by 12 feet where she spent the rest of her time. This beautiful, regal creature that was meant to be free, instead of frolicking in the grass or running over and looking at the pond, stayed up in the corner in her newfound space, but still living as if she was behind bars. Some of us are exactly like this. Exactly like this, we've been set free. I'm here to remind you today, you've been set free. You've been set free. You are the beloved of God. You are not caged anymore. You are no longer bound up by sin. You no longer are under the power of the evil one. You have been set free. And yet many times we find ourselves pacing back and forth in the very same small space as if we were behind bars. So let me tell you, Jesus lived a real life. He walked and he talked and he lived in this region in the Galilee. And we know that he was baptized in the Jordan and he heard words spoken over him by God and the Holy Spirit descended on him. And he lived and he died and he rose again. These are historical realities. But then there is also the salvation effect of that reality. And Paul talks about this. He said he, in him, was the full embodiment of the Godhead in Jesus. And now that same power lives in us. And so he says that which happened in historical truth, now that has an effect on us today. That means that those things that bind us, those patterns of thinking or those family dynamics or those ways that you have been stuck, no longer God wants you to live in that place. That means you've been set free. I've been set free. That means God wants to open you up and says, here, come walk with me. Let me take you by the hand. Let me show you your freedom. Let me show you what it looks like to thrive. Let me show you what it looks like to live in me, because I overcame, Jesus said, and let me walk you into that new reality of freedom. Let me show you what it looks like to live as my beloved child, free to walk and live with me. So Jesus is inviting us today. Jesus is inviting us to remember that we live in a world with a benevolent God and a wonderful God who is watching over each of us. God is for us. Amen? God is for us. If you're anxious and preoccupied with control, if your life, your Christian life, is still about making yourself secure, taking things into your own hands to provide yourself sustenance or safety or success, if you're still operating in that realm, then you're operating with an indifferent or hostile image of God. In the desert, Jesus broke through the temptation because he knew God was for him more than even he was for himself. He didn't need control over his sustenance or safety or success because he knew God was in control. Once I know this, I can let go of anxiety and control and judgment because he has already named reality for me. God has already declared who I am. Faith is not the opposite of unbelief. Faith for Jesus is the opposite of anxiety. If we are anxious today, if we're fearful, if we're feeling trapped or stuck in where we are, maybe you are stuck with temptation. You are invited to believe Jesus, that there is a benevolent God in the universe and that there is power right here, right now for us. The underlying temptation in all three areas for Jesus and for us is that we are tempted to treat God as less than God. To treat God as less than love. It comes down to take this into your own hands because you can't trust this God. The devil comes and whispers lies, and he would have us bound up. He would have each of us walking our own little prison cell, 12 by 12 space, locked up our entire lives. But as he does, we are to speak truth back to him. You are the beloved of God. You and I can't do it on our own, but we as followers of Christ can. He has already proven he wants to walk with us for the long haul. Moses had 40 years in the desert. The people of Israel had 40 years of wandering. Then Jesus came into those 40 days in the desert, and he was victorious. And he says, now let me walk with you and show you what that looks like to walk with me in freedom. The one who did this is the one who stands by this promise, that he who started this good work in you, he will carry it to completion. He will carry it to completion. So if you feel stuck today, if you feel like this is just how I'm going to be the rest of my life, hear this word of God spoken over you. You are my beloved. Where you are now is not where you are going to always be. I am speaking over you and leading you into a place of freedom. Hear this word of God today, that Jesus was victorious and that he opens wide the way of victory for us, that he wants to come alongside and strengthen us on that path. Hear this word of the Lord today, that you are my beloved, and in you I am well pleased. As we continue to hear these words that are going to now be sung as the praise team comes forward in this special music, just reflect on these words and think about where you might be locked up, where you might be stuck, where you might be hearing the voice, needing to hear the voice of truth speak to your life today.
Christ alone will I glory, though I could pride myself in battles won. For I've been blessed beyond measure, and by his strength alone I overcome. No, I could stop and count successes like diamonds in my hand. But those trophies could not equal to the grace by which I stand. In Christ alone I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the source of hope is Christ alone. In Christ alone will I glory, for only by his grace I am redeemed.
Only his tender mercy could reach beyond my weakness to my need.
Now I seek no greater honor than just to know him, Lord, and to count my gains but losses to the glory of my Lord. In Christ alone I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength, my source of hope is Christ alone. My source of hope.
Would you pray with me? God, thank you so much for not shying away from the difficult, from the suffering, from entering into our experience. For we have a high priest who understands, for you have been tempted in all ways as we are. And yet you are without sin. And you want to walk us hand in hand into a path of freedom today. Hearing that same voice over us as you heard, you are my beloved. God, I pray that we would take your hand now, that we would walk with you, that there would be nothing that would separate us from knowing that truth, that reality of who we are in you. I pray, God, that your voice would be stronger and louder than the voice of the enemy, than the voices that speak lies. God, may we walk that long road with you, each of us. God, we are so grateful that we have freedom in you. And we want to say these prayers, this prayer that has been said for centuries together today as we again affirm, like other believers have, you are our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. May God bless you.